Good Wednesday. Today is April the 2nd, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, one animal species we don't typically think of as a big source of protein is fish. And aquaculture is a huge product of soybeans grown right here in the Buckeye State. We're going to catch up with Jerry Bambauer of the Ohio Soybean Council and learn more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
I'm joined today by Jerry Bambauer. Jerry is a farmer, soybean farmer from Ohio, also a board member on the Ohio Soybean Council. Jerry, we want to change directions maybe from what a lot of conversations are about soy, and we want to talk about aquaculture, in particular how soybeans play such an important role in the aquaculture industry. And you've got to literally travel to different parts of the world and see that happen.
Yes, I've been very fortunate in seeing several different things. Right now, I'm vice chair of the Soy Aquaculture Alliance. I've served as chair for them for 4 years previously there. So spent a lot of time working with aquaculture. We are presently working with a lot of the domestic aquaculture, trying to get soy into our feeds there. We've got a really good research panel that are from the four major soy aquaculture feed manufacturers, and they go over our research projects and kind of try and develop it. Even though they're four competitors, they still do a good job for us trying to pick up research projects to help incorporate soy into the aquaculture feed industry there. So we're looking to work with that. We also are trying to help out some in the foreign with USEC and WISH, working with them also from some of our research that they're going to try and incorporate that into some of their foreign projects that we're working with there. So it's a good experience, and unfortunately, we're having a little challenge getting a lot of aquaculture into the U.S. We've got some permitting problems and challenges to get through that process. 90% of our seafood that we eat is imported. So, you know, we have a large opportunity as far as consumption of the product. We have some projects where we're looking at huge feeding facilities from the egg laying to the final product to the slaughterhouse going into the retail merchandising, where it would be top to bottom completely through one industry representative facility. So hopefully that works through the process.
Here in the Midwest, a lot of times we think about livestock being the number one consumer of soy meal and soy proteins. Oftentimes we just sort of have that disconnect, I think. But around the world, it's aquaculture, it's fish that are one of the largest consumed protein sources out there, and a tremendous opportunity for soybean farmers.
Right. Basically, right now, the major use of soybean meal into the aquaculture industry is the catfish industry. Mm-hmm. And they have had very good success at a high percentage of their protein in their feed. It does come from soybean meal. A number of the other aquaculture species kind of have a little allergic reaction to some of the straight soy itself, some of the components of it, where now we're starting to modify the soy a little bit, break it down, some of it's fermented. Our one staff member from Ohio has developed an enzyme product called Enzymil that looks very good. In the process, it does raise the cost of our soybean product from where we're at in the mid-3s to maybe in the 7s to 8s, but it also increases the protein from in the 40s up into the 60s.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it helps in that respect, and it's very favorable to the digestive system of a lot of our aquaculture species there. So we're looking at changing the things. Regardless what we use from the soy, we're trying to replace fish meal and fish oil. Fish meal's in the $2,000 to $2,200 a ton. Soybean meal is $300 a ton. Our modified stuff is in the 7s and 8s. So everybody is trying to reduce their feed costs into the aquaculture industry. So, you know, we're working to incorporate more of it all the time into that.
Help me connect the dots a little bit. You mentioned Soybean Excellence Centers and the connection there with aquaculture and soy meal. Tie some of that together for us.
Overseas, we have a lot of aquaculture there. They have some strange products sometimes as far as what they really like as far as a species. They've got a snakehead, very, very popular in the Far East, and I don't know that it's ever been incorporated into the U.S., but it's there, and it does very well on soybean meal. So, you know, we're working to incorporate into it. They've become very modernized in their production of the different species there. It used to be pretty basic in their ponds and raceways and things, and now we've really put a lot of modernization through WISH and through USEC to get these new developments into it. It's pretty much taken over most of the aquaculture industry in the foreign Indonesia areas out there, Vietnam and that. So it's been a very good process, and it's modernized, and I think we put out a better quality product now. And again, we're continually to working to try and get more soy into that product. Every time we work overseas, the research we do and the product that we produce, we want to use U.S. soy. Mm-hmm. So that's one of our, requirements, one of our desires,
sure,
that when we work with these, that we get U.S. soy into that process there. The last board meeting we had with the soy aquaculture, we had one research project that is using a wax product, and they incorporate, and I can't tell you exactly how it is, but it takes away some of the off flavor of some of our fish species, aquaculture species. And our CEO of Arable Lab was there. And as soon as we brought that up, a wax, he spoke up and said, "Hey, Arable Lab can work with you. We can develop maybe 10, 15 different types of soy wax that you'll be able to use, so you'll be able to not just have one product, but we may be able to incorporate 10, 15, 20 different versions of the soy wax to see which one works better, and then it'll bring work back to our Arable Lab, which is part of our Ohio Soybean Consults program there. So it would be great to have that incorporated back into there.
Good work going on behalf of Ohio soybean farmers and soybean farmers all across the country. Again, my guest today is Jerry Bambauer. He's a soybean farmer from here in Ohio, a board member on the Ohio Soybean Council, doing a lot of work with soy aquaculture. Jerry, thanks so much for your time and for the update today. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. On a story slightly related to yesterday's egg prices discussion, the Agriculture Secretary recently provided her first progress report associated with USDA's five-pronged strategy to combat high-path avian flu and the outbreak in poultry flocks and the higher egg prices we've seen. USDA's Rod Bain reports.
A progress report on USDA efforts to prevent highly pathogenic avian influenza in poultry flocks and reduce higher egg prices caused by lower supplies due to the HPI outbreak. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins recently provided the first of what she says will be regular updates on progress. First,
up to $100 million will be available for a funding opportunity to support projects on avian influenza prevention, therapeutics, vaccines, and research.
The emergency funding is available through a competitive process, with projects focused in areas from novel therapeutics and vaccines to risk pathways research. Applications are due May 19th. The secretary reiterated that additional research is needed to determine the viability of vaccines as an HPAI prevention measure, as well as consultation before a decision is made on vaccine use.
In consultation with HHS, CDC, NIH, and FDA, we'll solicit feedback from governors, state departments of agriculture, veterinarians, farmers, the public health system, and the American public before we move out on any of these findings that we have in the next phase.
Also in the consultation loop, training partners to limit impacts to export markets from any potential vaccination. Success in recent biosecurity assessment pilots prompted expansion of previously limited biosecurity assessments to commercial poultry producers.
USDA is offering two free voluntary biosecurity assessments for operations not affected by avian flu. It's a wildlife biosecurity assessment. The second is a general assessment, and producers can request one or both.
Impacted operations or areas will undergo USDA biosecurity audits prior to flock restocking, with prioritization digitization of assessments of commercial egg-laying facilities in the largest egg production states in efforts to lower egg prices. Additional progress updates to USDA's HiPath AI strategy include compensation to producers repopulating flocks impacted by HPAI outbreak.
Effective February 27th, so the day after we announced the plan, we increased the indemnity rate for layers by 2.41 times, which amounts to $16.94 per head to provide critical relief to our farmers.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.